Blog Talk Radio.
I'm picking up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Welcome to Positive Living Vibrations, and we're on our Christmas theme here again tonight, but this time we're going a little bit serious. I want everybody to have an absolutely sensational time this festive season, but we always have to remember some responsibility and to pay attention to those people around us. So today's topic is sensible drinking over the festive season and also how to handle the seasonal anxieties. And that means, folks, the lonely. Let us not forget them. I have lain awake at night wondering and fretting if my loved ones would get home safe after a night of drinking. So as the clock has added another hour, that wonder turns to worry. And then it is, are they safe? And then are the people around them safe? I love a drink at parties and now and again at home, but it's like everything in life, moderation. Too excessive becomes abusive. Why do we have a need to push our boundaries of sensibilities? Now, and I'm all for pushing your boundaries in life and seeing how far you can go, but there is a reason why we have a gut instinct. There are reasons why we have those boundaries, because sometimes it is simply too far. So why do we lose control? Why do we not take accountability for our actions? This phase, our festive season, I wish for everyone to know the merriness, the joy, the laughter, but also to be aware of the boundaries so that everyone comes home safe. It's also a stressful season. We have put so much emphasis on the gifts, the perfect table, the pressure to be Martha Stewart, that we go overboard and leave ourselves stressed beyond belief. I know, I've been there, I've done this myself. And it kind of ended up becoming so stressful that I didn't enjoy Christmas, and then, of course, nor did the family. There were other elements involved with it, too. But when you're on a budget and you're trying to buy that perfect gift, set that perfect meal, trying to control everything because everything needs to be done in an orderly manner, making sure the place looks good, setting the atmosphere, and we just simply stress ourselves out instead of just letting it be merry and letting it be. So we do not have to be Martha Stewart. I'm Sarah Doe. Whatever I put on that table, I put it on with love and affection. And bottom line, folks, that's what it's all about. So when you give a gift, it's a gift of love. It doesn't matter how big the gift is, how flashy the gift is, but it is a gift of love. It's a token, it's an appreciation, and nobody should be going bankrupt in order to buy people Christmas gifts or to set up that perfect atmosphere. So we're going to be talking about the stresses today and how we can handle that. We're going to be talking about alcohol today and really to know those boundaries. More importantly, if you're hosting a party, how do we set the boundaries on somebody who we know is a drinker? And that's a tough one because we know that, you know, one drink and they've had too many. How do we handle it? It's every hostess's or host's nightmare. I loved the season and it became hell for me. In the last few years, everyone's been broke, but we've had enough to just put a little something on the table. Actually, my son has, and he cooks beautifully, so I love going over there, and everybody's bought a token gift, and we've had happier Christmases than we've had in a long time, because it is about the togetherness and the love. And when it comes to that, folks, let us not forget the lonely. This is an awfully high suicide time of year. People are forgotten in the hustle and bustle. The lonely watch people going out to parties, joining things, being festive, and there they are, alone in their apartment, alone in their rooms, alone in the streets. And it's time for you to remember them. Sometimes all it takes is a Christmas card, a token gift, an invitation, just letting them know that you see them, that they're there. And let us not forget that this Christmas, which is about new birth, which is about love and respect and value and faith, which means everyone needs to come together. So let us not lose control. Let's use our sensibilities. Let's be accountable for our actions. And let's love the season and do it right. So we're going to save you from being stressed today. We're going to help you what to do when somebody has had too much to do at their party. We're going to help you recognize when somebody is lonely, suicidal. And, you know, a huge factor of that are the drug addicts. And this is a hard time for them, too. But I don't want to take the joy out of Christmas because I really do want everybody to understand that it is a fabulous time. But it's not always a joy for an addict, an alcoholic, a foodaholic, a perfectionist, or someone that is alone. So I have two wonderful ladies on today, and they're going to come on and help us understand what we can do to make Christmas wonderful for everybody by including everyone, handling our stresses, handling those issues, and what we can do to make a difference in other people's lives as well. So the first person I'm going to bring on will be Tracy. Tracy McGee has been on one of my shows before. She is a specialist in alcohol and drug abuse. She spent the last 23 years of her career serving and saving those their loved ones in the struggle with addiction, suicide, death, and the accompanying feelings of depression, anxiety, and panic. Her career has expanded through the mental health and addiction, suicide, crisis, phone, counseling, emergency room, critical care, detox unit. My goodness, this woman has covered it all. She also wrote a most beautiful book, Hurry Before the Snow Flies, which was on her own family who were riddled with alcoholism and her amount of family members that she lost to this disease and her own strength and conviction to make sure she goes down another way. I have put this up on my favorite list on my Christmas ideas, which is up on Facebook. I highly recommend you get this book because it really is one that touched my heart. So having said that, Tracy, welcome back to the show, darling.
Hi, thank you for having me back. It's wonderful to be back with you on your show. I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and that's where I practice. I have the Comfort Boutique and Counseling Center. My Comfort Boutique is filled with items for loss and bereavement. What I've learned along the way is that people can recover from grief, but we do need a little help along the way. And sometimes what people share with us, whether it be a necklace or a plant, or a poem, whatever that might be, it helps us along the way to recovery, whether we have lost someone to death or divorce or breakup or family estrangement. Sometimes this is where alcohol and drugs come into play and our loved ones disappear on us. And so the Comfort Boutique and the Counseling Center is aimed at helping not only those who are struggling with those issues, but also helping their loved ones cope, set boundaries, learn what to do.
Wonderful, and you've done this for a very long time, and I know that this is a topic that I can have you back on over and over again because it, you know, affects so many aspects of our life. But just give us a little background for people to understand, you know, your family and where you came from, and you know, having to live with this firsthand of you know, what alcohol and drug abuse can do to a family.
Well, I learned at a very young age that something was wrong, and I learned fairly early on, and I would say elementary school, that alcohol in my immediate family was the culprit. As I grew and gotten older, I was able to talk to my dad about our family history, and I actually did, it's called a genogram, where I went back 3 or 4 decades, and he took me back 2 decades that he knew of, both on his side of the family and also on my mother's side of the family. And my family, when you look at the sheer numbers, is more than 50% alcoholic. And in my later years, 20s and 30s, I became the family genealogist, and I went back even further. And it is shocking to me, heartbreaking, but also amazing at this disease process that has shown up in 4 and 5 generations ago and documented actual deaths. And so I have a respect for the progression of alcoholism and drug addiction. I have a respect for these chemicals, both alcohol and drugs, on the street and our pharmacy medications and what they can do to people. And so part of my goal in life, or my mission, if you will, is to help educate, support, and provide assistance to those who are struggling.
And this is a year where a lot of people do struggle, don't they?
Yes, and I think even more so than years gone by, people are agonizing this particular year, and I think the economy has a big part to play in that.
And a lot to do with the shift as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring Judy on now. I'm going to tell people all about Judy. Judy Cameron is a stress relief coach who delivers rapid results using natural and ancient wisdom. Judy will tell us why it's important to sit and walk in good posture, especially during the holidays, to release those festive stresses. Now, I know that sounds awfully simple, folks, but, you know, when it comes down to it, many remedies are simple. And, you know, we run to the pills and we run to everything else for a solution when really it comes down to, you know, some simple things that kind of can put us right back into alignment. So she uses these techniques to relieve the body stress by posture and stride training, and how to sit, walk, hike, run in natural alignment, and to relieve the pain and look younger and feel more confident to cope with daily stresses. And who doesn't need that? She's got 30 years experience in helping people relieve their body, divorce and money stress. She's a teacher of Qigong, which is wonderful Chinese art, EFT, meridian tapping, and meditation. So welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here. I love what you're doing, Sarah.
Oh, thank you very much. Let's try and get that message out there, and if you know, we can help people have a happier Christmas and a safer one, then that's what it's all about. So tell us a little bit about you, Judy.
Well, both my parents went through the Second World War. I have a sort of a familial history with trauma. My mom grew up in London with, you know, Hitler's bombs dropping, and my dad was in Pearl Harbor. We lived in Washington, D.C. when the Kennedys were assassinated and Martin Luther King. I mean, the Harlem riots, it's just a programming from a very young age. So I became very interested in how to not rely so much on drugs and surgery. I spent many years in medical research, and now I'm all about the ancient wisdom that is, like you said, so much easier. I can be reached at judy@judycameron.com, by the way, in case you don't get any of these links right away. But I'm going to be talking a bit about sitting posture, and there's a free posture video on my YouTube channel, Judy Cameron Health, all one word, the smaller waistline video, just to give you a teaser name, because it really does help what the exercise that we're going to do. But there are also some acupressure, meridian tapping, anti-stress videos to watch, quick anxiety or anger or sadness relief videos. And my business partner Carol and I have a free audio slideshow in more detail about this topic of how to use your posture to de-stress during the holidays. And that website is called InnerDestinations.com. It's my holistic health webinar and retreat company. And another partner and I have a divorce recovery site, and we've got a free holiday stress audio for divorced women at divorcerecoverycoaching.com. Just look for the Heavy Heart Teleseminar tab. And I've just developed a new product about money stress for business women called How to Stop Negative Thinking About Money and Make Your Best Business Decisions. And that's at liberateyourdestiny.com. And by the way, if you're not a businesswoman, I have another version of it coming out about how to make your best life decisions, coming out by the end of December. And again, I'm at judy@judycameron.com. And I appreciate the opportunity to share all that, Sarah. Thank you.
Busy woman. You have a lot on your plate, both of you.
I do. Okay. I do, and yet I just have to watch that I don't get stressed by all my anti-stress products, and then I'm good.
Right, exactly. So, you know, let us not. That's number message number one, folks. Do not take on more than you can cope with.
Truly.
It's simply not worth it, because then when you're stressed and miserable, you make everybody else miserable. So remember this wonderful word, delegate.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are quite happy to participate and do something. You don't have to do it all. So come back in, Tracy. Let us actually really address here today, you know, the issues. I'm going to first go to you about alcohol and a party. You know, like if somebody's in a party and, you know, Uncle George, we know, likes to hit the sauce a little bit too heavy. And, you know, it's very hard because, you know, they can go and help themselves to drink. It's, you know, you might be able to watch them, but it's very, very hard because they like to drink. What does a host or hostess or relative do in a situation when they are dealing with somebody you know that, you know, likes to drink, or maybe it's a perfect stranger? It could be the boss that's come over for dinner and you find that he, you know, doesn't react too well to alcohol. Have you got any tips that we can give our hosts and hostesses on how to handle that?
Absolutely. They'll want to plan ahead and have a strategy, or what I call an action plan. And when they send out the invite, the strategy or action plan is embedded in the invite, so there are no surprises on the day of the party. So that if you have someone who likes to tie one on, he or she needs to have their designated driver with them. That's an example of an action plan. Mm-hmm. For somebody who didn't intend to get inebriated but did, you still have to have an action plan. So having someone inside of the party designated by the host to be the DD. It gets a little dicey, though, when if someone gets very angry and hostile and insists on driving. That becomes a completely different problem. It becomes a dangerous problem. I don't know about the laws in Canada, but in the United States, the DUIs, it's zero tolerance here. And so they're going back on the host or hostess if there's a problem on the road. And So you have to be willing to be assertive about not drinking and driving, and it could get ugly. It could.
Right. It's always good to have a spare bed laid up so somebody
Absolutely.
Can pass out in a few hours. And
Yep. And
also, you know, if somebody is drinking beer, I mean, we do have the non-alcoholic beer. And sometimes
Right.
you can switch those drinks and they don't know what they're drinking anymore. As long as they got a drink
that's
in their hand.
That's actually true. I didn't think about that, but that's true.
So what you're really saying is that be prepared. And again, don't just have alcohol drinks. You know, have other drinks there that they can flush the alcohol with. And that's not sweet drinks, is it? That's not pop. I mean, ideally water is the best thing.
Yes, if they'll drink that. And also to keep in mind that the liver metabolizes differently for different people.
Mm-hmm.
So for women, as a rule of thumb, we need 2 hours to metabolize one drink. And one drink is one bottle of regular beer or 5 ounces of red wine or white wine or one shot. And those are measured doses. Sometimes people will come to me and say, you know, I only had one drink and I got arrested, and so I'll have them describe the drink. Well, they'll pour a pint of whiskey into a really tall glass and drink it. And they call that a drink. So you have to know what you're ingesting. And a drink is actually measured. And so for men, roughly, if our livers are working properly, men it's 1 hour for one drink, a measured dose. Women it's 2.
And how does food come into this? Does food help?
Absolutely. If you're drinking on an empty stomach, let's say you worked all day and you're rushing around, and then you hit a bottle, you're going to get drunk very quickly,
mm-hmm.
okay? But still, the liver can only metabolize 1 per hour. So a person, if they want to be very wise about this, they're going to eat throughout the day. If they're going to have a drink, they're going to have food with their drink. That slows down the absorption of the alcohol, and the liver can keep up much better. So let's say you're sipping a drink over an hour, if you're a guy, and you're having a meal, you're pretty
mm-hmm.
good at the end of that hour to drive.
The other thing that I always tell my children, because I've got kids all in their 20s, one about to turn 30, and she's going to be on next week actually talking about drinks for the season, so joys. Is to drink a glass of water between every drink.
Yes,
does that help flush it out quicker?
No. The idea of flushing it out is really not true. We can't flush it out any quicker. Our livers are like old working dogs, and they'll only go as fast as they're healthy to do so. And so if you have a person who has a weakened liver, we're talking about, you know, having it stay in the system much longer because the liver can't keep up and process. So there's no such thing as flushing it out. You have to wait it out. It's on the clock. You have
so maybe
to.
The water stops the alcohol from taking over so much. Right.
Well,
but it's still the process of the liver has to go through, and there is no way you can rush that.
There's no way you can rush it. You can reduce the buzz by eating, but people who have a drinking problem won't do that because they want the buzz.
Yes, yes. And, you know, how do you actually recognize somebody who comes to your party and you don't know who they are? You know, you certainly don't know their drinking habits. You know, what are some of the tips that you can see, other than that they're knocking them back? You know, that a few tips that come across with, you know, people not being able to handle their drink.
The early signs you'll see are gait issues. Like they might stumble a little bit or they go to reach for something and they knock something over. So you'll see motor skill issues. As they progressively get more drunk, you'll have some slurring of the speech. Now, depending on the person and their tolerance, a person who is highly tolerant, you're going to see those things. They can have like 6 or 7 under their belt before you even see that because of tolerance. And so it's very individual. But when you see those symptoms, you know you have somebody who could be considered legally drunk if they're showing those symptoms, which in Michigan it's 0.8.
Right. And, of course, the other thing is volume. You know, I certainly know in my family when the drink has been there, the volume goes up. So you definitely know that the alcohol has taken its effect. So, you know, if people are going to a party and they want to have fun and they've got a designated driver and that's not the issue, but it's still, you know, it still comes to that. Because when somebody has had a few drinks, there is no way you can say to them, you've had enough, you've got to stop now. Because they're feeling the life of the party, you know, they may be getting the attention, they're really on this buzz. So, you know, and they just look at you as a killjoy. So, you know, how is there a way of kind of saying, you know, enough is enough, or other than producing a drink that isn't a drink, you know, and, you know, what are the things that you can do into kind of getting that person, still keeping the merriment going, but at the same time trying to reduce those drinks?
That would have to be done in private, like walking them into the kitchen and talking to them. There's no way to guarantee, though, that it's not going to escalate. Some people will just get upset and leave if it's brought to their attention. Other people, what I've noticed, especially with some of the alcoholics I've worked with, what they'll tell me is they'll hang on by their fingertips and they will sip at the party, and when they get home, then they'll knock back like a pint or they'll knock back a 12-pack. So that they don't look foolish in front of other people. So many people are already trying to cover. So if you have somebody who isn't aware that they have a serious problem and they're out of control, that's a pretty big problem. It happens less often than you might imagine because people will go to great lengths to hide it, unless they have a like drinking buddies and then they all tie them on together.
And so going back to what you were saying earlier, like with your family, that, you know, the 50% in the family and going back further, that went back generations, is there an actual gene in the body, you know, a chemical imbalance in the body that if somebody is a drinker, they'll always be a drinker or, you know, always fight it, and that it can get passed down from family member to family member?
Well, there's a lot of schools of thought on that, but I believe that just like our eye color can be inherited, so can propensities toward conditions, whether it's depression or anxiety or addiction. And one of the doctors I worked with made a really bold statement, and I'm still actually trying to find the research on this. His opinion is that there's certain groups of populations, and Native Americans are one, which I'm a descendant of, have no immunity. Those are the words that he used, have no immunity. And so if they pick up at some point in their life, they will become addicted. And as I look at some of the research I've done with not only my family but the people I've worked with, I don't think that it's really that clear-cut because I can have, like, a great-grandfather in someone's family, and for a couple generations, everybody's okay, and then the 16-year-old kids in the third generation picks up and he's gone to town. So it's not that simple actually to say, but if it's in the family and if it's on both sides, it's a loaded gun. It's like Russian roulette. And it's dangerous. And I recommend that people, if they have that kind of genetic loading, that they never aim to get buzzed. If they want to have a social drink and they can have one, they can have one. But they are tempting fate if they decide to tie one on. Because once they cross that threshold, there is no going back, in my opinion. I've not seen people able to go back.
Right. Right. I mean, I used to be a drinker when I was young. I didn't drink to get drunk, but just because I'm a hard tack person, I could drink a lot of it. But, you know, it's it was something that I could easily walk away from. You know, not completely. I have a drink now and again, or if I'm going out, but I can go months without it. So I think a lot of it does come from, you know, environment, the people you're around. So I think if you are have that propensity, just like a drug addict, you know, alcohol, if you have that within you and you know that it's going to be hard for you, don't put yourself around those people. Or make sure that, you know, there are people around you that do know you have your difficulties and are looking out for you. And there is no shame in saying, you know, one or two is my limit. Don't let me have any more. And,
well,
you know, let people look out for you.
Well, when I talk to my patients, I ask them to take responsibility for their own actions. And so they need to have and develop their own exit strategy because it puts family in a tough spot, because if someone starts picking up and they, like, are addicted to alcohol, it's like a freight train trying to stop them. And so I like to remove the family and friends out of that equation and make them responsible for themselves. And if they can't handle one or two, then they have a problem and they shouldn't be picking up then. Social drinkers never have to tell themselves, I'm going to stop at two. Why? Because they just stop. Just like if I pick up a Dr. Pepper and I'll have one and it's satisfying and I don't pick up a six-pack. And so it's like that with addiction. If a person has trouble controlling it, that's one of the parameters that we use for defining substance abuse and then on to substance or addiction.
Right. Okay, well, let's go on to another subject now of anxiety. So we're going to come back to, you know, alcohol in a moment and also lonely and suicide. But, Judy, let's go into these anxieties right now, because Christmas can be an awfully high-stress season for anybody, trying to be Miss Perfect and perfect gifts, perfect situation. So, you know, and people, you know, we don't want them running for the Valium. And mixing that with the alcohol. You know, it's I know EFT is wonderful and, you know, Qigong is wonderful, but this body posturing of yours sounds absolutely fascinating. So, and it's something that you can do kind of in the middle of the kitchen, in the middle of the carving of the turkey.
Absolutely.
So we can take away, okay, then we need to know this one. So tell us all about it.
Well, this is really exciting. I was taught movement therapy by a movement therapist who had studied yoga, dance, and the martial arts, and she culminated the best of all three of those disciplines. And it simply involves turning, you might go into your spine right now, into your body, and just feel where you are. Gravity pulls us down with worries and age and so forth, but if you practice this, simply lifting your upper body out and up skyward, out of your lower body. And by the way, if you're in any pain, you know your body better than I do. So just listen first if you are, or check with your doctor before you do this. Simply the lifting, for those folks that aren't in pain, lifting your upper body out of your lower body will give you several benefits. And we'll do an exercise in a moment so you can feel it. But I thought I would allow you to hear the benefits to before we begin, because they are pretty significant. So by decompressing your spine, you know, there are nerves that come out in between each vertebra off the spinal cord, and they ought to be enervating the different organs of your body. A lot of Asian philosophy is that the chi will flow, the life force will flow well into your system. And if we sit in a compressed fashion with rolled forward shoulders, we're really squishing everything down. So by decompressing your spine, eventually you'll have some pain relief because half of your body weight is now coming out of your waist and allowing these nerves to function better. You can breathe better. You can, in other words, inspire better, but you also look more inspired. You look younger. Your waistline muscles cinch in as you lift your upper body off your lower body, and that is a younger posture, a more confident posture. And then when you take the Asian philosophy into this decompression, you're actually allowing the natural joy, life force, loving energy that is innate within us to flow more beautifully through us. So it's actually a natural holiday joy feeling, if you will. So mm-hmm. would you like to go through
yes,
the exercise?
Let's take everybody through this exercise. I think we could all do with it. Never mind just holidays. We can do this anytime, anywhere.
Exactly. You can do it in your car. You can do it while you're sitting at your desk. You can do it while you're standing in the kitchen, as you said, Sarah. So basically, again, if you're not in any pain, simply lift your arms overhead, your palms skyward. Just gently lift up. And notice how that feels. Sometimes it's a little tight in the beginning. But basically, here's the trick. If you can imagine that button on a baseball cap on the top of your head, if you imagine a string coming out of that button into the sky, and it lifts you up like a puppet. A lot of dancers are taught to have a string on their sternum and to imagine feeling lifted up and out. That's a little bit different, but the same concept, because it's a very graceful, strong, powerful, inspired stance. If you just imagine that string lifting up. And then as your arms start to float down, here's the trick. Rather than letting your arms decompress, compress your spine again, your posture, see if you can stay lifted while allowing your shoulder girdle and your arms to just float down, almost like a heavy winter coat on a wire hanger. It's just draped on your shoulder girdle. Your arms just float down. If you can maintain that lift and some relaxation in your shoulders and neck, you've got it.
And the breathing at the same time?
Yes, you're breathing. Mm-hmm. It sounds
deep breathing.
Mm-hmm. It sounds simple, but there's so much to it. Again, just lifting up skyward through the top of your head, and eventually you'll be able to turn your head left and right, just like a regular person. But It's very strong, and again, your waistline muscles cinch in, and again, there is a video where I demonstrated on my YouTube channel, so you can see it, which is more challenging with a radio show. But you're lifted, and you're breathing, and eventually pulling your belly toward your backbone, you can start to strengthen your abdominal muscles. Most of us have muscles that are underworked and maybe flabby on the front side of our bodies,
mm-hmm.
and overworked and tight or painful on the back because they're overstretched, they're overworking. So this exercise really helps you start to balance, let go of the tension in the back and build some strength in the front of the body. Now, if you get in your car and you do this, set your rearview mirror because at the beginning of the day, you're strong and rested, and then at the end of the day, if you're not used to this, and you get in the car and you notice, gosh, I can't see out the back of my mirror. Oh,
yeah.
Right, I need to lift up. So that's a great decompression exercise.
I mean, this is actually excellent. I mean, how many of us work on the computer? I'm several hours on the computer every day,
and
I think most people are nowadays. And it's, you know, just as they say, sometimes you just have to take your eyes away, close them, and, you know, give them a break. This is an excellent exercise to do kind of right in your chair. I mean, standing up and doing it, sitting up and doing it, but making sure that we stretch our bodies so that that energy runs through us. And
there,
I think it will clear
exactly.
our head. You know, clear our heads better, give our bodies a chance for that energy to run through, loosen up those muscles, tighten up the other ones. So a wonderful, simple technique that can be done anywhere at any time.
And getting up and out of your chair, as you just said, Sarah, is really key. Having intermittent walking around your desk, doing standing activities around your desk, people don't like to be thought of as not being a hard worker, so they say, I need to sit in my chair. But actually, you can do a lot standing and moving, and you will release a lot of tension, both physical and mental, by having a headset, by just standing at your desk doing filing activities or being on the phone. Your body will be so happy at the end of the day.
So I would imagine, Tracy, that this would play a great deal into people that do have some challenges, you know, with alcohol, with drugs, you know, obviously with anxieties, that this simple breathing, because I always say in my practice to people, before we do anything, let's breathe. And we take at least three deep breaths just to get our bodies centered, to get them relaxed. And I think we do not allow breathing to happen enough. And when we get panicked or stressed, we seem to hold our breath and crunch ourselves. So, you know, how have you used this technique at all, Tracy? Are you there, Tracy? Oh, I seem to have lost her.
Well, certainly with...
Hi.
There we go.
I don't know if you've
We're having technical difficulties.
Okay, all right. Did you manage to hear that, you know, the stress relief with the posturing? Were you cut off at that time?
I cut out after she took us through where you brought your hands down to your side. I actually was doing it along with her, and that is phenomenal because I do a lot of deep breathing with my clients, and as I was doing, I was following along as she was describing it. It was amazing, and so I'm actually going to be looking at her side because
I think
it's phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely, it helps because I teach people how to avoid panic attacks, and the first thing that sets up a panic attack is their inability to breathe. They choke, right?
Yeah.
This, in addition to teaching them how to breathe properly, one of my biggest problems is getting the alignment, and this is just fantastic, I think.
And, you know, EFT is wonderful, tapping. I've had it on the show before. We'll be having it again in the new year. But, you know, sometimes you can't kind of tap somewhere because people are watching you. You know, even though I don't care, I'll tap if I need to. But, you know, some people might not be able to in the middle of a corporate meeting or, you know, the family dinner. You know, if you start tapping, they will say, what's wrong, Mum?
Right.
So, you know, is this breathing? I mean, you might not be able to kind of put your head up, or you can just say, everybody put your hands up in the air.
But you can still lift your spine and you can still take a deep breath. And actually, can I offer some simple points on the wrist for anxiety relief that you could do under the table, whether it's a corporate table or a, you know, a holiday table? There are three points on the inside of your wrist, close to where your watch band is. I have a video that shows it as well if you want to check that out later. But there's an outside, a middle, and an inside point. And if you just take your fingertip to fingertips.
Are you on the top of the wrist or underneath the wrist?
Underside.
On the vein side.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Just tap on those gently. And those are actually the heart, lung, meridian points, which are fabulous for de-stressing. Just breathe while you do it.
So if somebody's, you know, having a bit of a heart stress, a heart palpitation, this
truly
is a good way of calming the heart down.
Truly. Yes.
You know, there's another one you have. Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, simple measures, right? And it's something that people
mm-hmm.
can use anywhere, anytime, which I love, you know. I'm always
absolutely
into the alternative for that. There's another one you've got here, Judy, which I absolutely love. Smiling releases the kinks and helps prevent tight shoulders and tension headaches. Now,
isn't that amazing?
I mean, a smile is something that lights up everybody's day. It tells people how they're going to greet you. You know, it tells people how receptive you are to them. But, you know, this getting rid of the kinks and tight shoulders, I love this one. So, folks, pay attention. Smiles can get rid of tension.
It's wonderful. There is definitely a connection between our hip and our jaw tension. If it's tight, they're both tight. If they're relaxed, they're both relaxed. So my Qigong master taught me that while the reason that a lot of people put a smile on their face when they're doing Qigong is not just because they're enjoying it, but to trigger the brain to relax the musculature and the tendons. So you can do that at the dinner table and nobody will know that you're doing it intentionally to relax yourself, or deep breathing or tapping on your wrists or lifting up. All of those things are kind of simple but can be done on an inward level without a lot of outward show.
I mean, I imagine for you, Tracy, you know, the last thing you want to do is give someone who is either an alcoholic or a drug addict any medication. Because that's
exactly
just one, you know, one problem to another. So kind of techniques like this, which is, again, something they can do anywhere, anytime, and, you know, just get into a rhythm of doing it daily, several times a day.
I think that would be very, very helpful.
Yeah. Qigong, by the way, for people who don't know what it is rather like a form of Tai Chi. Similar type of movements, and it's all about fluidity. My ex-husband is Chinese and did the martial arts, and Qigong is, you know, it's just constant fluid movement, so it's keeping that energy going, and it's so impactful. Even when you watch Tai Chi, you know, it's slow and purposeful, but it is all about the rhythm, and I'm very much into the rhythm of life and keeping that energy going. And we can also de-stress our bodies by thinking de-stressed, and by addressing our you know, our language to ourselves. Yes,
absolutely.
The situation is a bit hairy at the present moment, but I'm going to take a deep breath. And when I've finished this deep breath, I'm going to be able to handle the situation, and it's not going to be so monumentous. So one of the things we can do is stop ourselves from getting into a panic straight away. Take that breath. Always take that breath, because it will help you deal with whatever you're up against. Now, have we got any other wonderful tips that we can give the people on anything to handling stress or any situations?
Yes, you were talking about, were you going to speak about the lonely now or later, Sarah?
Nope, let's get in with the lonely now, because, you know, I know myself when I've had Christmas. At one time I had a Christmas table where I had a Jehovah Witness, a Jewish person, and an East Indian at the table. And I thought it was absolutely wonderful, because it was, for me, I'm not a Christian, I'm a spiritualist and person of faith. So for me, Christmas is about love, celebration, and sharing, and it was wonderful to be able to do that. So many people are forgotten at this time of year, and it's little things. If you can't invite them over for dinner, but you know, you can maybe get a meal and give it to them, or a little gift, or a card, or a cotton candy, something to remember people. So have you got some statements on how to handle that, either one of you, both of you actually?
I do. Shall I go, Tracy?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. What's so wonderful, what attracted me to Qigong was the ancient quality, that it's time-proven, in other words, and also its simplicity. The Asians and the Indians really do believe that there's a universal intelligence, a wisdom that runs through us, and it wants to give us what we need, whether it's love or energy or money or a wonderful business. That energy can do anything. And I think just having that perspective really helps. The times that I've been lonely went during my divorce, that first Christmas, I was spent the day by myself, and I was so upset. I was in shock. When my father died, my best friend died, my mother disowned me. All of these things have really been shocks, but the more I take in that philosophy that love is really only a breath away, mm-hmm. and it's mine for the asking, I can be alone, and that is the most comforting thought. I mean, we're all going to be, you know, old, and spouses die, and kids die, or whatever. Eventually, we might be alone physically, but that thought, that concept has always helped me, and I just really wanted to pass it on because it's unconditional mm-hmm. love, unconditional, and often humans don't have that to give. You know?
Right.
But if you use your imagination and your intention, as you just said, to breathe in this love, I feel so supported and not alone when I think that way and when I take those deep breaths. I just really wanted to share that.
Now, that's a very good point, is that we can make a choice to be, you know, just because it's a day of coming together, it's a season of festivities, you know, we can go out and do something for ourselves and be festival to ourselves, and we don't have to be reliant on someone else to make our day. Tracy, have you got some points on this? Have we lost you again? Looks like Tracy's having some issues tonight.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It is, yes, it happens sometimes. Tracy, are you with me? Okay, I guess she'll come back in a moment. She's obviously coming in and out, which she could have some static. She's dropped again, so it happens sometimes. But I totally agree with you. You know, I wrote an article some years ago about Only the Lonely, and it was, I'm in a party and I'm talking to people, but everybody's speaking at me. Nobody's speaking to me. And I think one of the worst things is actually being alone in a crowd and nobody hearing you, nobody listening to you, and you feeling that, you know, why are you there? And, you know, to go to something just for the sake of being around people isn't always the answer, because if you don't feel like you belong, or if that energy isn't conducive to yours, you're going to feel more lonely than you were in the beginning. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being alone with self, because as you said, you're not alone. The universe is with you. You know, I've spent many a time alone and many a new year alone. Not Christmas as well, since I've had children, because we always make an effort, but certainly New Year's and other days. You know, I'll watch something on TV, and, you know, I'll pour myself a drink at New Year, and I'll toast the cat and the dog, and I don't feel sorry for myself, because it's my perspective. You know, I'm watching what I want, I'm drinking what I want, I'm eating what I want, I'm with the, you know, a couple of people I love, everybody calls in at midnight, and it's okay. I don't need to be out there in the hustle and bustle and feel lonely because I'm alone. Do we have you back, Tracy?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're having a bad time tonight. Must be all those
phones there.
Oh, have you got some tips on us for us about, you know, the lonely, or how to combat loneliness and paying attention to the lonely out there? Have I got you? Or lost you again? Oh no, she's really having a hard time.
That's too bad.
But this is how to cope with being lonely on your own. But there are people out there that are older or homeless or, you know, live in that pokey little apartment down the hallway. And, you know, I do think that sometimes, you know, a card on a box of chocolates at their door, you know, little flowers or, you know, taking over a meal. You know, maybe it's, you know, you can't have them over for some reason, but you can certainly incorporate them by giving something, and it doesn't have to be big. It's a token to let them know you see them and you hear them. Have we got you back, Tracy?
Yes, you do.
Well, let's see
how long
we can
keep.
Yes, quickly, tell us about the lonely before you disappear again.
Well, I like to teach people to find home inside. That way, wherever they are, they're at home. And that can help take the loneliness away. It is like Judy said, when we look outside of ourselves to not feel lonely, we will. And there are times when we are alone, but being alone doesn't have to equal loneliness. And if we have found home inside of ourselves, then wherever we're at and with whomever we're with, we're at home, and the loneliness can be kept at bay.
I completely agree with you, completely agree. And, you know, it's just saying when you dropped off there, you know, if you're living in an apartment block and you know somebody living on their own, you know, it's drop a little something at their door. You know, maybe take a meal over to them. You know, a little goes an awful long way. Most people
mm-hmm.
just mind being on their own, especially kind of if they're older because they're in a routine. But it's just nice to know that somebody knows they're alive. And,
absolutely.
You know, a little something, and that goes an awful long way. You know, I know it is a high suicide time because people sometimes just can't cope with either the loneliness, the stress, the, you know, maybe they've lost people and this is a horrible time of year to remind them of it. For me, when we lose people, we have to remember the gift of the time we had them and always look upon people that have gone before us is that they were a precious gift with us in our time, and to always look back at that wonderful gift, to remember those wonderful times, and if they were taken before their time, that's, you know, the universe's will. But it doesn't mean we've lost them, not if they're alive within us. And we can converse with them, we can celebrate with them, and they are with you. Their energy is still around you. So if you've lost somebody and Christmas is a hard time for it, you know, have a drink, toast to them, you know, talk to them. That energy, that spirit is still there with you. And even if they have moved on, the comfort it gives you to be able to speak to that person that you've lost, you know, go down memory lane and share something that was joyful. And it lifts your spirit and it lifts your heart. The worst thing we can do is deny ourselves a memory. The worst thing we can do is put fear and pain over something, because now we've contaminated that memory and we trap ourselves in that loneliness and in that fear. So, and you know that wonderful thing called smile?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it giving somebody a smile. You know, and my music for my other show, if you remember, Tracy, was you've got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. And, you know, when you're shopping, when the poor teller is pulling her hair out because, you know, she's had lineups all day and people are bitching and complaining at her, somebody giving her a smile, touching her hand and saying, it's okay, take a deep breath, that's going to be something she'll carry for the rest of the day. So
it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our pleases, our thank yous, that my article is about that. You know, maybe it's my age showing, but what happened to please and thank you and gratitude?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you don't like the gift, folks. You've got to bear in mind somebody took the effort to buy it for you. Gratitude is huge. And, you know, even if the meal didn't turn out the way it should do, it doesn't matter. The effort was made for you. So, you know, always it is about gratitude. And that will go an awful long way. We are coming down to our last few minutes here. Tracy, you haven't given your URL yet, your domain, for people to get hold of you. So would you like to give that?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. It's www.twowolfdancing.com. Two Wolf Dancing is my Indian name.
And I do recommend, again, folks, her book, It Touched My Heart. I read it through the computer, and I have a big, huge, clunky computer here, but I could not leave it. It just really was absolutely wonderful. So Hurry Before the Snow Flies is absolutely beautiful. And for anybody who's had any loss in life, whether it's alcohol or addiction, it really speaks to the trials and tribulations that we go through as a family. And as you said, Judy, my mum was in London in the war as well. She had a daughter, a baby, and she was going to the school one day to pick up the neighbor's kids, and a bomb came down on the school as they were coming out, and she covered the pram and children underneath the pram, and they, you know, every day they would wake up with a house next to them gone. And those kind of stresses, people don't get over. They'll, you know, they'll buckle up and they'll move on, but unfortunately, it's always within them, and we need to respect, you know, the people that have gone through their traumas, and don't just say just to get over it. It's just not to feed the fear or feed the trauma, but to fuel the solution and fuel the liberty of life. You never forget, but you don't have to live in it. So a couple of minutes each, folks. You want to round off with a parting festive word to everyone.
Happy holidays to everyone. Take a deep breath. Stay lifted. And you know what? One of the best things you can do is go for a walk in the great outdoors. Enjoy your holidays, everybody.
Wonderful.
And from me, if you've lost a loved one and you're coming up on your first holiday without them, find a way to invite them in, whether it be lighting a candle on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, finding an ornament that was theirs, some sort of symbol to recognize that you've brought them into your holiday this year in spirit, so that you have something tangible either to hang on to or to touch, and that will help you get through this first holiday.
And don't be afraid to speak out loud, you know, to
not
speak
at
to
all.
That, you know, and don't be afraid to cry,
right.
You know, and don't be afraid to feel that loss. The tears are okay. It's just don't keep them going, but they're allowed to be, you know, to be spent, because you are the one that's in sorrow. They've passed. You're the one that's in sorrow. You may cry to that sorrow, but it's not. Don't stay in the sorrow.
Right.
Wonderful. This is great. Thank you so much for being on, ladies. Mindful of wonderful information. A simple thing like our smile can help with our hips. And believe me, I've got a hip that has a problem, so I'm going to go around with a smile plastered on my face. And, you know, the deep breathing with the posture and the arms above. I mean, just such simple little things that can really turn our lives around and make things easy. So, you know, folks, I don't want to hear you moaning. I bring to you every week people with solutions for you. So stop going for that pill or running off to that doctor or feeling traumatic about something. You have got Mindful of Expertise here every week. Please listen to these people, because their simple expertise is going to change your life. Thank you so much for coming on, ladies. I wish the two of
you
a very happy Christmas, a fabulous
season. Thank you,
Sarah.
You too.
Thank you.
Wonderful. God bless both of you.
God bless.
Next week on the show, I'm going completely the opposite way. We're going to feeding the senses with exotic foods and what cocktail drinks to serve for the season. I know, drinking, there's nothing wrong with it when it's done in moderation. Respect those boundaries, okay? Everything is about that. So join us next week to see what the yummies are that you can serve with your guests. I'll have Tina Marie Barad, who's going to come on with the sensual foods, the foods that are going to wake your senses, not just your taste buds, but through the whole body. And I have my daughter, Tabitha Toe, who is a bartender up in one of the famous hotels up in Toronto, and she's going to come on with what kind of drinks to serve that are different and that are just going to, you know, titillate your whole Christmas. The other thing to remember, folks, is the Mayan calendar is coming up, the 21st of December. It is nothing to be fearful about. Please do not be fearful about it. It's a change of consciousness. We've already started crossing that consciousness. We'll probably see things electrical, static, etc., going on for those 3 days. I suggest at least on the day on the 21st you unplug your computer and other things, because there might be a surge of energy. But this is a wonderful time for cleansing. If you're feeling tearful, if you're feeling having weird dreams, if you're not sleeping very well, if you're kind of mixed with emotions, you just start crying for no reason, I promise you, you're all right. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. You're just going through the cleansing. It's escalating. Let go of everything that does not serve you. It's there for you to embrace what is to come. And that is a higher vibration, a higher consciousness, one where we can give peace a chance. So please, folks, stop fretting if you're going through these emotions and just look upon it as, okay, I'm detoxing. I'm letting everything go while I cross over this bridge over to this new consciousness, because you cannot take it with you over there. Over there, you're going into purity, you're going into cleanliness, you're going into clear clarity of your senses, and you can embrace this whole wonderful new journey. So stop worrying if you are feeling the stress. Folks, now I wish all of you a wonderful week, and remember, when you go Christmas shopping, it's not about the price of the gift, it's about the gesture. Please remember your please and thank yous, and remember to smile at those people serving you, because they're under an awful lot of pressure at this time of year. A smile goes a long way. Remember the people in the street. Remember the lonely. A little token, a little smile, a little meal, a little acknowledgement can really change a person's life. I wish all of you a wonderful week, and I will tune in with you next week on exotic foods and drinks for the season. God bless everybody. Be kind to one another. Good, good vibration.